Three, Caitlin Vargas is named Director Emeritus to the LTD Board of Directors. Caitlin Vargas is appointed to this role in recognition for her prior service to the LTD Board of Directors with distinction and excellence for her leadership and contributions to the board and her role as board president, and for her dedicated advocacy on behalf of LTD, both locally and nationally. As Director Emeritus, Caitlin Vargas shall be entitled to receive all written notices and information which are provided to the Board of Directors, to attend all board meetings, to participate in meetings of the committees in which she serves, and to represent LTD on other boards when such invitation is made. Now, as Director Emeritus, she shall not be subject to any attendance policy counted in determining if a quorum is present at a meeting. She shall not be entitled to hold office or entitled to vote at any board meeting. Ms. Vargas's initial term as Director Emeritus shall be for a period of 2 years, and she may be reappointed for additional terms upon majority vote of the board. So that's what's up for discussion as a new agenda item.
And as we had, you know, talked about earlier, with being on the active board of directors, that requires a certain position within LTD. And so this would allow me to keep the active board of directors position and represent LTD on a national level for the benefit of LTD. But I just wanted to hear your thoughts and have a discussion and just start there.
Caitlin, excuse me, I'd like to hear from you. Just expand upon how you see what you're doing with APTA and with LTD, and, you know, being attending monthly meetings or quarterly or just at a whim or what? I mean,
yeah,
take it all.
Yeah, that's a fair question. So how I would see this working as the resolution lays out is still attending LTD board meetings and still being able to receive communications LTD board members would receive. I wouldn't be able to vote. I would have no contribution if there was a quorum. It would allow me to continue to have the knowledge and education that LTD board members have, so that when I am representing APTA, and so with the APTA, you have 4 in-person meetings a year. And then currently I serve on 3 different committees within APTA. And I would continue to hold those committee spots, which one of those being the Transit Board Members Committee. And so I have to be a Transit Board Member to stay involved on those committees as well. And so does that answer your question for the...
Well, I can see you've taken on quite a role here. Thank you for that. Would you anticipate sitting at this table or in...
I have no expectations in terms of where I sit or if I have a name involved or anything. I mean, I think you guys all know, like, I care really deeply about this. And this is something that I feel really strongly and passionate about continuing. I've invested 4 years at this point, and over the last year, quite a bit of time into making sure I'm accurately representing the agency. And I care about the industry, and I care about the agency, and I care about the direction of where it's all going to go. And so that's why I'm wanting to not lose this APTA opportunity, because it's so important to me. And I think it's a great opportunity for LTD, but I could be in the hallway and I'd be fine.
So just for a little, I don't know how much information you guys have experience with Director Emeritus positions, but for other boards that I've counseled to and have this position has been made, it's generally a situation where someone with institutional knowledge is leaving the board, and it's a very young board. And so in this situation, I mean, Caitlin, we would like her to be able to continue representing LTD nationally, because it gives LTD such good recognition. But the emeritus position is particularly, I think, helpful in the upcoming year or two for this board, because it will be such a new board. And she would be there in, that's generally the role of an emeritus, is to it offer advice and guidance and experience of what's been done before. So I think that would be the primary role she would play when she's here, if she's in that position, it is what that role anticipates, how you guys decide to hold the role, but that's generally what an emeritus role is for.
And if, you know, I keep asking questions and I want to hear your honest thoughts about it. Yes, Pete.
How long is your appointment to the Appen Board?
3 years.
3 years. And is that single term? How many terms can you hold?
That's a great question. I don't know if I know the answer.
I want to say two consecutive.
I feel like that's probably right.
So in theory, you could be there for 6 years.
Yes.
Okay.
This resolution is proposing a two-year director emeritus.
I guess, unfortunately, I'm uncomfortable with doing that. I believe that, you know, when we leave the board, we leave the board. And it's time for somebody else who takes the position to move on with it. Much as I would like to do it for you so you could be on the APTA board, you know, I think I have to remove myself from who it is and say, would I be willing to do this time and time again, no matter who is sitting in that spot and in that situation. So unfortunately, you know, I can't support it.
Okay, that's fair.
I appreciate the way you said that, Gino. It's kind of my thoughts too are, you know, has this ever been done before? No. Is there a reason that we would want to potentially consider doing it today? Yes. But, you know, would we want to, is this a role that we want to continue to have in perpetuity, or, you know, are we just isolating it to one situation? And I think we have to be careful about setting precedences, you know, that we may not want to set for the long term. This is kind of where I, you know, kind of where I landed on it.
Well, I'm feeling like I can see the value here because I've been turning over the board pretty much. And like Gino and Michelle have only been on for a couple of years. And I'm thinking, well, and we have Carl Yeh as our budget committee chairman. And then Mike Iser is on the planning, strategic planning committee. And Greg Estes is there as well. So I think there's definitely a value of keeping some consistency, some, like you said, institutional knowledge. Although, you know, the board moves as it does in this moment. You know, people who are here now are going to be impacted by the events around now and trying to move with their community on their understanding rather than reaching back into the past and what we did before. But there is definitely things that we've gone through before and I think are helpful just to be able to reflect on them. So basically I'm supportive of the idea of an emeritus position. I just don't know how it plays out. And of course,
yeah,
the board will figure that out as it goes along. You know, it's just a first step.
Let me see if I can come up with a solution. I don't know if this works for APTA, but if there were, I'm not hung up with the title, but if with that title, the role of that person, you, would be, I don't know who is impacted, but to chair the strategic planning committee.
I think we just voted on a chair, like last
year.
Who? She has? It's already been 2 years? Okay.
Just trying to find something.
No, I appreciate that. And, you know, this is unorthodox because we are trying to explore new avenues and find a solution that feels right for everybody.
Well, it's an honor that LTD gets to have a board member on APTA. That seems a very valuable connection.
Has APTA offered any solutions other outside of this option? Has APTA weighed in on any other potential solutions to keeping that connection?
So APTA's counsel weighed in, and her interpretation of the bylaws is that Aitlin ran on a board position, representing board, so transit board member slot, and would have to be a member of the board to maintain that slot.
So it would sound to me then that the chairing the SPC committee isn't going to tie that together the way we need it to be tied together.
Correct.
But the Board Emeritus position would fit into their bylaws?
I'm going to have a conversation with their legal tomorrow. She sent me a response by email that said she would need to be on the board. The question is on the board appointed by the governor, right? Or is it the emeritus position, or is it the chairing of a committee? Would that satisfy that requirement? That's the question to their legal counsel.
Pete, any thoughts?
Here's my quandary. I agree. This is a great opportunity for you. It's a great opportunity for LTD. I'm reticent to monkey with the structure of the board, especially since the rest of us are appointed, and once we're done, we're done. I wonder if your position, if we give you this position, how much influence you have on the board itself, having been a board member. There's devils here is in the details of how much you're diluting the board itself as an entity, because it's supposed to be the seven of us doing it as a single body, and we're also the seven of us are appointed by the governor through that process. It would be, I think if we separated out from LTD, let's say we went to like the Eugene City Council, which is a body that's elected, and the city council said, hey, we're just going to create a position over here. I think that a lot of people would have some real concerns about the accountability, even though you wouldn't be a voting member. You'd probably be so many, correct me if I'm wrong, that the assumption here is that you would be essentially ex officio and not have a voting right, but if you'd sit at the table and have the right to speak and influence the decision-making process, I'm not sure I'm comfortable with that, not because of you, because of the governance and the structure issue. And so I find myself in a quandary about it. I just wish there was a more clear-cut other solution that could be done that wouldn't monkey with the structure of the board.
Yeah, I understand that. Well, I appreciate the feedback. I think that at this point, if we have additional questions or anything like that, I'd be open to that discussion. I think, it's never easy having these types of discussions, right? Because we're talking about someone who's sitting in the room. But I appreciate you all feeling like you can share your opinions and feel like we have the trust to have this conversation. So I appreciate everyone sharing their feedback. That's really helpful.
Well, I think the point that Jameson mentioned, and it just strikes me, is that if the governor were involved and approved the appointment, I think that would go a long way for this board to approve you. I don't know. that seems like if there's contentious possibilities there. Anyway, you're going to get advice from that.
I'll get final clarification from APTA tomorrow, Thursday afternoon.
Okay. Well, thank you for the discussion and appreciate hearing from all of you. So let's go ahead and move on to audience participation. Andrew, thank you for being here so you could clarify that. Is there anyone signed up to speak? Okay. So really quick, we actually are going to extend our presentation time for our first agenda item. We have a little bit longer of a presentation, and then I know everyone's going to have some questions. So let's bring up Tom for community outreach and communication assessment.
I can sit down. Good evening. And thanks for being here tonight to talk about our latest project to, it's called the Community Outreach and Communications Assessment. I like the acronym COCA, it's just easier to say. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the scope of that project, where it came from and what we hope to accomplish. To start with, I wanna ask, and Gino knows the answers to these questions, but are you aware that the state has a set of statewide planning goals that it's adopted?
Yeah, since like 1971 or something.
Don knows the answer. That's great. Well, and in particular, and this is a bonus question, you know, which the first goal is?
Community involvement.
Citizen involvement.
Close. Citizen involvement, yes. Thank you.
Full marks. So what I wanted, and I have it here just to reference, because the essence of that goal at the state level is to develop a citizen involvement program that ensures the opportunity for citizens to be involved in all phases of the planning process. And they go through, take several pages to define, all of what's entailed in that. But as Don said, this is something that's been around for over 50 years. And if you look at, not just in this community, but around the state, there is an expectation that the community is going to be involved throughout the process. And we've seen this in our own backyard. And so what I want to talk about is we've identified, and you have in your packet, a scope of work. We've given you the summary of the scope of work. For a consultant to help us with this process. But the major parts of it are first to assess the expectations that the community has for public engagement in our processes relative to what our effort has been. And as you know, you all know the community very well. It's not just a community. It's a community of communities. In fact, each of us are part of different communities in this community. And that creates a lot of interesting engagement, people with different views, people who are on different sides of an issue within the same neighborhoods. So it's a lot of conversation that can be had on a lot of things that we want to do to make the community better, contribute what we can to that effort. And so part of this process to look at, well, so how are we doing? Relative to what community expectations might be. And again, today I couldn't articulate clearly an expectation that the community has, except at a broad level that they want to be involved. And they want to be involved throughout the process through the end into the decision making. So we're going to have a consultant help us with assessing what the expectations are for our projects and for our processes. So this includes not just the big projects like Moving Ahead and COA, but also our budget process, our ongoing kind of regular cycle of processes. Strategic business plan is on a 3-year cycle, those kinds of things. Just looking at how we do all of that in order to come up with a plan, basically a framework that can help us design our processes both in a consistent way and one that's more effective in engaging people throughout. One of the issues that we recently experienced on Moving Ahead, for example, we did a lot of what I would characterize as very creative, robust engagement tactics, but we didn't engage everyone, right? And that's just, a problem of being in a community of communities. So that's the first piece of it. And then a big kind of cornerstone part of this process is to convene what we're calling a community steering council. Kind of change the name there, but that's what we put into the scope of work, made up of community leaders. And we're actually starting to meet with different organizations to get a sense of who they might want to see as community leaders on this council. We expect that the board might have some ideas for participation on that. We're also talking about having SPC members, not the whole committee, but in part, serve on the committee. And in fact, have the chair of the SPC actually chair this effort. But again, it would be made up of community leaders, community members from around our district, with the idea of kind of going through this process of establishing what the expectations are. And again, tactics, things that we can use to improve how we engage the community. Out of that, so just kind of going through the scope of work, we've engaged this steering council. We get to a place where we've identified a number of recommendations. We've done this assessment of how we do things. That would be the basis for then developing this community outreach framework. And that would give us the opportunity to have some standards that we use on every project, on every engagement that we do. You are familiar with we've talked to you a lot about the IAP2 spectrum. That is a good foundation for I think what we're looking for right now. If you looked at this, it's fairly general. We want to take that many steps further to get really something that's tailored to what we do and how we do it. But that is very similar in its intent and scope. So that gives you a sense of what we're doing. That's the scope of work. Out of that, this framework will serve as a foundation, like I said, for all aspects of our engagement. One of the things that I wanted to share as well, I've been doing this for a long time in this community, seeing a lot of different communities over time. We evolve. We have different points of view at different points of time. And one of the things I've picked up on when I went to APTA was the concept of co-creating with the community. And I honestly never heard that term until that presentation at the APTA conference. It was by the head of the transportation department at the City of Seattle. And the City of Seattle is got this process going to establish a process for co-creating with the community. And that's that really, I think, speaks to me in terms of what we're trying to do. And it's a different kind of process. It's not project-based. It's something that we're doing. It takes multiple years to establish this basically new kind of relationship with the community, a trust that we want to build within the community. We're going to come back and talk more about the specifics of that process, kind of what co-creating means. It's actually something that's been used in the private sector for many, many years. And it's something that's starting to take hold in the public sector in terms of how we engage our communities. And so it's not about, and I'll just tell you a quick story. When we were going through the Transit Tomorrow process, we were talking to a number of organizations, and I've been doing this for a long time, but it's the first time I'd heard. We were meeting with the Food for Lane County folks, their internal leadership, and we're going through kind of what we're trying to do, how good transit is for the people that use their services. And one of the women asked me, so basically, you want something from us. And that was the beginning of a conversation about, well, yeah, we need your help in this project. Well, we didn't have a deep relationship. I mean, some of us have a deep relationship with Food for Lane County, but the project staff that was there didn't. And so that really kind of made me think about the fact that we need to have a different approach that's not project-based. I work on a lot of projects, a lot of change in the organization. And it's a standard process we've set up. We have a project committee. We're going to reach out to all these groups that everybody knows about, the neighborhoods, the Food for Lane County types of organizations. We're going to go around and we're going to share our ideas, but we haven't established an underlying relationship, at the community level. And this is, I would say, the start of that process. That's what we want to accomplish moving forward, is to really think about and have a strategy for co-creating with the community. And that means a different kind of orientation. It means, when you think about our partner agencies, we do a lot of our projects jointly. Our processes affect our partners. That's a different orientation as well, to engage them in a way that, again, helps co-create with the community we're trying to achieve. So that's the overview of what we're doing. Again, the timeline, we've actually got the project going out in for procurement, thanks to Wendy's great help. Hope to have a consultant on board soon, within the next couple of months. We're starting to meet with organizations, partners, to identify a good group of folks to sit on this committee for the project. So in that context, any questions at this point? Comments?
Pete?
Thanks, Don. A couple of questions. First of all, I read the thing in the packet, and I see the beginnings of the framework that you're looking at here. I'm going to ask you something. Maybe you haven't thought this out yet, but you say community leaders. Who are you? Do you have a thought in mind? Because that's a can be a pretty broad or narrow thing. Like an SPC, currently we really don't see the elected officials that are supposed to be on that committee very often, and for various reasons. So, have you fleshed out what you mean by community leaders yet?
Well, I think we're at where you're at. I think and I'm reading into what you're saying. We want to try and get elected officials onto this committee, but as well, when we say leaders, there's a lot of different levels of leadership in this community. Folks that in a process that we might have are going to be wanting to be engaged, and so I think we're open to a lot of ideas. We do have connections within the broader community, but we're looking for leadership, I guess, orientation from across the spectrum of our relationships. We're figuring that out. Do we want elected officials on there? Do we want others that are maybe more actively working in the community? I think we want to consider all of that.
And a follow-up on that, the SPC is a little bit more policy specific. This would be a little bit more broader as far as projects, like sort of creating If we were going to do another transit tomorrow, for example, going through that in more detail, is that the case?
Well, what we're looking for, good question. What we're looking for are in this process is, again, to look at, with the help of the consultant, what have been the expectations in the community for participation in our projects? What have they expected, and then what have they got in terms of how we've delivered on those different processes? And that's going to show us, give us a lot of good information on which to look at and, come up with ways to improve how we're doing. And in the end, there's a lot of different ways we've handled these things. What we're trying to do is come up with that framework that we can use across all of our engagement. That makes sense.
Thank you.
Yeah, go for it.
So the concept of co-creating, it sounds good.
Yeah.
But admittedly, I don't know much about it. And I'm wondering if you could maybe provide a little more detail about what that is. One of the things that I get a little bit concerned about is the balance between community participation and leadership on the part of this board. We can't get too far out in front of the community, admittedly.
Right.
And their input is very valuable and should be undertaken. But this whole concept, if it's something I don't understand, and we get to the end of the process and then I understand it, and then I don't like it, I think that's problematic. So right. Could we get a little more foundation?
Yeah, and what I propose is that I can prepare some information that we can share with the board, and we can have a conversation about that at a future work session. But I would say again, it's a pretty solid model as it's been done in the private sector, and of course interesting as that process has been in the private sector, I mean they're oriented around profit. We have a different orientation. And so I think that's where the public sector, a lot of the implementation that's been done so far is actually in the public health sector, where they're building trust with the community by, being in the community. And it can take a couple of years to establish that trust. But they're starting to see, again, just in the public health sector, some great strides in the effectiveness of their strategies to increase the health of communities. That's just an example. Like I said, I think that's why the City of Seattle's public health department is looking at that, and they've kind of broadened it to the whole organization. But let me add one more thing. I think too, the notion of, just in a general sense, the notion of co-creating, at whatever level we might implement it, it starts with being open, and open in ways that we maybe have not been in the past. Envision that we've spent the time to build this kind of relationship with the community. And we're at a place where we want to talk about, maybe a new way that LT wants to operate. That's where, as opposed to us kind of going out and saying, hey, we've got this idea. Ideally, that co-creating process is one where we've actually had the conversations along the way. We've heard, we've listened to what they're saying and what they're looking for. We've gone back and applied our expertise to how best to deliver that. That's a cycle, as opposed to saying, well, the way they're doing it up north, that's a really cool thing. We should be doing that. It starts the other way. It's interactive rather than top down. Does that?
That's helpful. Makes me a little more comfortable.
Okay.
Still, at some point in time, I'd like to dive deeper into that.
We'll definitely get that together for you
before we go too far.
Right. Exactly.
Don, go ahead.
I'm thinking, is there going to be a budget impact here? It seems like, okay, we're going to need a little more staffing to put people out there in the community. I'm thinking, we have the structure now of the neighborhood councils. We have all these, and they're organized, and
I would say that's
in Eugene, and all of right. that. But then in order to participate with the neighborhood councils, it seemed like, okay, we should have a staff person attending their meetings. And most of the time it wouldn't be involved with anything, but it would be staff time that would be, I assume, paid for, unless the board, you know, volunteers to do that work, but that would be, you know, inconsistent with them. But that would be there would be a budget impact. You'd have to have some more FTE.
There might be. I mean, again, that notion of or concept of co-creation is a relatively new thing for me. And again, to help people better understand it, we're gonna work on it. But it's a promising model for us to use as we even think about engaging with the community. And whether it will take more staff or not, I mean, there's a cost benefit here. It takes many years for us to do some of the big things that we've done, a lot of controversy. I'm not here tonight to say I'm promising no controversy, but I think we can do a better job in engaging our community and listening and adapting and, again, using our strengths to make the community better.
Yeah, I'm just thinking in the same terms the way we've been criticized. It's like, oh, there's this meeting and LTD hasn't engaged there. But if there's a consistent engagement, you know, that's just part of the plan that we're thinking about. And that, like say, it takes a couple of years or something, but then there's always somebody in the room. So when they can't turn around and say, well, we never heard about this before. Well, there's been somebody there to let them know when everything are changing. But you can't have this, you can't be at every meeting. It just takes a lot of time.
Yes.
So if I could, I think part of the desired outcome for this process is to learn new ways to engage as well. You know, there's a software that we don't take advantage of. So when people are talking about LTD on different social media platforms, we can engage directly to where those conversations are. That's something that the city is looking at as well, in terms of how do we engage. When we have, and LTD is not special in this regard, I say that a lot, but LTD is not special in this regard. When we have public meetings, we typically know the faces that are gonna show up and the numbers and the questions that are gonna come. So this is really about identifying what is best in class, if there is such a thing, on how we can engage the community. Part of what we've identified as a success measure in our strategic business plan is community value. So learning what the community wants and how we provide that value and apply our expertise to that value is critical. I'd also add that as the landscape of public transportation continues to change, it's important for us to identify, you know, what works and what are the community preferences and what fit the characteristics of different commute patterns as working from home continues to be around and as different preferences exist as well, with, of course, fixed route being a backbone to connect all those pieces. So I'm excited for this prospect. We're going to be looking for, you asked about leaders that are being engaged. We've engaged the chambers. We've engaged the city managers. We're going to continue to go down that path and see what other leaders are there. We want to make sure we have business represented in this process. They keep the lights on. And I think that it's kind of hard to identify who those businesses are without input from the community. So we want to make sure that we have that in place as well. So it's real, as Tom said, a lot of this moving ahead bubbled some things up to the top. But I think this is part of the process for LTD to continue to develop and build and even repair relationships in the community, so that as we look at new projects, the questions of the past are kind of answered a bit, and we are creating this with our stakeholders as well. That's what we're after.
More to come.
Questions for Tom?
Just one more comment. It's an excellent move, and I appreciate the work that's being done. And
I'm excited to get involved in.
Super. Thank you.
Okay, don't go anywhere.
Nope.
Let's talk about that stiff fund update.
Join me. So maybe just to kick things off, you've heard a lot. Some of you have heard even more if you've participated on the SIF Advisory Committee or if you're on SPC. We've gone through the projects that we're proposing for funding through the SIF with this group a number of times. We can go through different projects, but tonight we wanted to ask, make sure you don't have any other questions about what you've seen in the plan. We're going to ask you to approve that plan at the board meeting next week. And so this is an opportunity to ask questions that you have. Again, these are projects that will be put in place over next fiscal year and the fiscal year after that. They involve purchasing vehicles, buying, you know, paying for increases of service, and a number of other things like that. And again, I don't want to go over stuff that you've already heard, but would ask if you have any questions or concerns about moving forward with this plan.
Board members continue to demonstrate impressive level of expertise on the programs we're proposing. They are very complex, and we also want to extend our gratitude for the patience of board members that have listened to us present several times leading up to this meeting. And so we have had extensive community involvement and background that's brought us here. So that's included meetings at SPC with the STIF Advisory Committee, the CATC, and of course before the board. And so we do want to make sure that we're available to talk through any questions, comments, or concerns that board members may have. But we've done our best to incorporate the discussions we've had thus far and any feedback that we've received from the community. We're essentially proposing this as our package of proposed projects for the upcoming biennium to serve our community, to connect our community, which includes programs that just directly will benefit older adults, people with disabilities, low-income individuals, the people in our community that we may not otherwise connect with. We're looking to incorporate these programs to be able to fill gaps and otherwise provide service.
And just as reference, Pete and I sit on the STIF committee, so we are very well-versed in those multiple presentations. All right, questions for John, Tom, comments.
So now the STP is gone. Is it officially gone? Has it merged into this now?
STP funding.
The STF population-based funding is, just to make sure I'm clarifying the...
Well, the special transportation program, that was, yep. Was funded, you know, from various ways that they could at the time, but now it's a STIF thing.
Yes.
That's so that program has now been totally merged and doesn't really exist separate.
You have that exactly right. So the STF formula funds, as we're currently using them, have been rolled into the STIF process, which is why we're bringing them forward in the way that you're seeing in this current upcoming biennium. Typically in prior bienniums, you would have had to come before you with a separate presentation, separate grant funds. However, the programs, we're looking to continue this STF funded programs that we've previously had essentially at the service levels and at the funding levels, very similarly to as we've seen in our current and prior biennium. So we're looking to make sure to maintain the types of transportation services that our communities come to expect with this proposal.
Other questions? Just a process question. So there's an application that's made, and is that ever changed by wherever changes it?
So no. The principle is that it's money that was generated in Lane County. We've identified how we want to spend it. ODOT's going to process that application, you know, as if we were, you know, doing that. And then the money becomes available to us starting July 1st of this coming year. And we proceed with the plan. You might have questions about, well, what happens if you don't spend on a project? What happens? So the money, because the money was generated here, it stays here. It rolls over. And some of what you see is planning. We talked about this, you know, some of the vehicles that might that were to be paid for with stiff funds this year may not arrive till next fiscal year. So financially, we have to roll that money over to pay for those. So those things happen. But otherwise, you know, what we plan for, we, yeah,
great. Right. And in addition, because these grant funds are based on projected payroll tax revenues, we're doing our best to both estimate as well as keep in enough contingency funds so that if funding does come in at, say, a higher rate than currently estimated, we'd still find ways to be able to use those funds to serve our community.
Anything else for now?
Otherwise,
thank you.
Yeah, thank you both for being here and for the information. We appreciate that. So we are actually at the end of our agenda. So we got done early. So you didn't need all that extra time you thought you would. This is like a reverse psychology from last time, right?
Really good expectations.
And so with that, we're done with the work session, but I'd say probably best tie goes to Tom today, wouldn't you guys say?
I mean, yes.
Yeah. All right. So with that, we are adjourned.
Yes, it is.